Good morning. So this morning we're starting a new section. And this section is extracting nutrition or digestion of food. And we've covered water, we've covered shelter, we've covered air, and we've covered being born physically. So when it comes to food, it's not about whether or not you can eat something. You can eat cardboard if you want. It's not even about being able to eat a really great, nutritious meal. It's about whether or not your body is in a place where it can actually extract the nutrition from that food. So we know that there are various people around the world that do nutrition studies, and you can get somebody to come and give you your diet that you need to follow. But in reality, getting the right diet is just a small part of the problem. The question is your metabolism working properly? Are you healthy? Are you able to extract the nutrition? Can you extract all the nutrition? Some things you just can't extract because your body's just not in the right place to be able to do that, right? Now, the very first rule about extracting nutrition is that if you just simply rely on the world system, you're going to get very, very little nutrition because they're not including it in the food. They're giving you bulk. But the actual nutrition is low, and they need to keep you in a state of need. They need to keep you on the edge of unhealthy. Well, they can make a lot of money out of you if you're unhealthy. They can make a lot of money out of you if they reduce the amount of vitamins in your normal food and then give you vitamin supplements that you have to buy. They can, and by the way, this is a reward system, right? The more you submit to them in the financial world, the more that you earn in the financial world, the more you're able to supplement your food with vitamins and things, and as a consequence, you are more healthy, and therefore you are participating in the system. If you buck the trend in that, you don't have an income, you lose the ability to get your vitamins, you start to lose your health. And so it's a downward spiral, and eventually you struggle and struggle and struggle. And this is how they control things, right? Well, what's the way out? Well, the key way out is you need to pray over your food. And your prayer is, "Thank you, Lord, for this food before me. Please change it like you changed the water into wine. Please change it into all the things that my body needs." Now, you can pray that prayer. And if you are spiritually not in the right place, you'll not be able to, that prayer just simply won't be answered. And you will not be getting any of those nutritious things that your body needs. Nothing in front of you is going to change. Nothing in front of you is going to be sorted out. And so the question is, so what is it that you have to do to get yourself into the state whereby you are able to pray that God will make the change and that you are in a position to receive and be able to process that change? Now, this is a balance, right? It's a balance because you have to take care of your body. God's given you your body, you're supposed to look after it. But your body submits to your spirit, so. If your spirit is in a bad place, your body's not going to be in a good place either. And bear in mind that if you have not forgiven everyone, the tormentors are allowed to torment you. And one of the ways they do that is through ill health. So you want to make sure that you actually step into a space of completely forgiving everyone. Doesn't mean to say you're not going to go through immune system upgrades from time to time. Okay? But it does mean that the Lord is going to work with you. Sometimes He'll even use you as an example of somebody going through some very tough stuff. So it's not a cut-and-dried case of if this, then that. That's just not how God works. He works with each one of us differently because he's raising a spirit in us. He's not we are spirits. He's raising us as spirits for eternity, which means the things that take place in this physical world just sometimes do not make sense to our physical brains. Now, the scripture we're going to read is part of a backstory. The backstory is Abraham wanted a wife for his son Isaac, and so he sends his servant to go and find a wife. Specifically, it's got to be from his own line. So Isaac was equivalent to a grandchild of his line because he was born so late, you know. And so in the line that Abraham had sent him to, that line of people had grandchildren that were the same age as Isaac. And that meant that the diversity of genetics would be widely spread enough to be able to still work. Now, what the servant does is goes off and prays and says, Lord, I'm looking for this particular person, and prays and has a very specific prayer. And based on that specific prayer, God answers. And exactly what he prayed came to pass. And so he knew that this was the right person. This was the right woman that he had found now, way, miles and miles and miles away. But he had found her. Now, he's then invited to their house. And they're very excited to see him. They really want to hear everything that's happened to Abraham and everything that's going on. And so they make this lovely feast and they sit him down and they want to start the feast. They want to start the meal. But he's not able to do that. Right? He has somewhat of a bit of tension in his body because he doesn't know if these people are going to let him take this woman back to be Isaac's wife. And it's really on his mind and he's very concerned about it. And so he's not in a position to be able to sit down and eat with these folk because he needs to know an answer before he can relax. And if he doesn't relax, he's not going to be able to digest his food and none of this is going to work. And actually the whole attitude is going to be constantly him trying to find a gap in the conversation to actually address his cause. So he does something really important in Genesis chapter 24, verse 33. He says, and there was set before him to eat. In other words, they're sitting down at the meal now. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. So the daughter's father said, speak on. Now, what does this mean? It means that when you invite somebody around for a meal, it is a good practice to sit and talk first. Just generally, let people get things off their mind and allow them to relax and to talk about the things that are on their hearts so that they get into a space whereby they've dealt with the things that they needed to deal with so that their stomachs are relaxed, they're relaxed, and they're in the right attitude. Now, you can also get a situation whereby the person arrives, they're just in a foul mood and everything, and you sit down, you have a conversation, and they have a big blow-up, and they leave. Right? Well, that's a good thing. They didn't do it in the middle of your meal. They didn't create indigestion for everybody. Yes, everyone's a little rattled after that. And maybe you take a half an hour and you think about things and talk about things and calm down yourselves, and then you're able to eat. But in these situations where there's tension, you're not going to be able to digest your food properly. You won't be able to extract the nutrition properly. And so this is how you need to look at things. You need to say, okay, from now on, when we are going to have a meal, we're going to congregate beforehand. This is you and your family too. We'll congregate. We'll talk about things, even if it's in the kitchen, just walking around, talking to each other, getting things off our chests, etc. While mom is cooking, or while you're busy cooking, or whatever the case is, just talk to each other. Talk about the various things so that it doesn't happen at the table. The table needs to be a place of good feelings, good emotional state. You can't have somebody coming home from work angry, sitting down at the table and taking it out on the kids while they're trying to eat their food. No, that's just wrong. That's just wrong. If you come back from work and you're feeling like that, well, you just say, guys, I can't come and eat just yet. I need to deal with my own emotional problems first. I don't want to take it out on anybody else. And quite frankly, you should be doing that before you leave the office. Or before you leave work, you should be talking to the Lord about it, giving it to the Lord, and say, Lord, I'm leaving work now. And I'm not going to be taking any of this that's concerning me about work home. When I get home, I walk in that door. I am a father or a mother, or a brother or a sister. I am a child, a boy or a girl, whatever. That's who I am. If it's from school, you're not bringing your baggage into the place where you're going to eat. Right. So you need to talk beforehand, and that's what you need to do. So talk before you eat. Sit down, relax, have a nice meal together. It's not the time to talk about the tough stuff that happens. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? You need to do that before you go and sit down and eat. And this is what he does right. So let's read this again. Genesis chapter 24, verse 33. And there was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. Well, guys, change your lifestyle. Change the way that you have your meals. Change the way you sit down with your family. Change the way that you eat, even if you're doing it alone. Have your conversations with the Lord. Make sure that you pray over your food. Make sure that before you do that, you have forgiven everyone. And invite the Lord. If you live on your own, I did do this. I invite the Lord to my meals. You know, and sit down and share with him, but make sure that you've dealt with your issues before you eat. God bless, guys, and have an absolutely beautiful day.